starting to look at Psalm 32. If you could turn to Psalm 32, please. Set it as homework last week to read it for those who were here. Psalm 32, reading from verses 1 through to verse 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. This is the first of the Psalms which has the heading maskil, or contemplation in some other versions. There are 13 others. Sorry, it's the first of 13. It goes from Psalm 42, 44, 45, 52, 53, 54, 55, 74, 78, 88, 89, and 142. But does the heading have any real significance? I think it does. This is the second psalm, which is called a penitential psalm. That is, a psalm of repentance. And this psalm teaches us the importance of repentance. And that word, maskil, which does have several meanings, but it usually means to be enlightened. It means to be wise or skillful. And it's intended to denote that this is a psalm that imparts wisdom and instruction to those who read it and act upon it. It's a wisdom psalm. Key themes are forgiveness, faith, the folly of unbelief. Others think it's just a musical instruction that has been lost to us. But there is a common theme to these psalms of instruction. And I think as the first of these types of psalm, it's very pertinent that it's teaching about repentance, something that we need in our lives, certainly at the start of our Christian lives. We repent of our sins. In Mark's gospel, both John the Baptist and Jesus start off on the subject of repentance. Mark chapter 1 verse 4, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And just a few verses later, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. David was a man who could teach a lot about repentance. As one who may be regarded as a great sinner in the Bible, as well as a great poet, a great warrior, a great king, he knew all about transgression against God's law. But he knew also all about forgiveness. And that's the purity of the gospel message. We have sinned. But God offers forgiveness, and the believer has accepted, repented, and accepted that forgiveness from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that fear, which has many different expressions, one of them of which is genuine fear of what our sins can do to us, where they can lead if they're not repented of. For the unbeliever, it leads to death. For the believer, it leads to a lack of communion with the Lord. And you know that feeling, and David was aware of that feeling, where he says, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Every believer, I've no doubt, has experienced that, and it leads to repentance and restoration. David starts out by saying, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And I want you to note the couplet there: transgressions, forgiven; sin, covered. But he starts off with that word blessed. This word used in the Hebrew, it's esher, and it's only used for men and women. It's only used for the blessing of men and women. It's not the same word that we looked at previously about when we bless the Lord. It's a different word, and it's only used for men and women, and it's a state of bliss. It's the utmost happiness. How happy is the man whose sins are forgiven, or the woman, or the child whose sins are forgiven? A state of bliss, almost of rapture. And it's a state that we can experience in our own lives. It's a state that we will experience when we're with the Lord, because we're with him in his presence. And we are in a state of true blessedness. That word transgression, that means rebellion. But it also means to reveal and to hold accountable. And that's what we need to do. We need, our sins need to be revealed to us, to confess. We need to show others that they are sinners, not to make us feel better, but for them to know the need for forgiveness and salvation. Transgression is rebellion. That sin is an offense against God, against God's laws. But to be forgiven, that's a word that means to lift up and to bear away. Our sins are lifted up and borne away. Certainly our Lord Jesus was lifted and took upon himself our sins. It means the bearing of one person's guilt by another. And that's the gospel message. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not die for his own sins, did not die for his own guilt, but died for ours and bore them away. And they are covered, concealed, washed away by his blood. And that word also, covered, it implies confession in other areas of the Old Testament where it's used. So this is truly a psalm of repentance. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. We talk about the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to the believer, that Christ who is righteous, his righteousness is given to us, and we are accounted as innocent, guiltless before God, because our Lord Jesus took away our sins. Well, this is a similar sort of meaning. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. He does not write it to our account. He does not charge us with the guilt that we had, because the Lord has taken it away. And again, iniquity is another word which expresses our sinfulness and our guilt from the act of sin. We know that we have sinned, but we don't always feel guilty for our sins. And the two should go together as we look for forgiveness. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. The word spirit there, it means the seat of the emotions, the seat of the mind as well. It means the breath of life. That's the original meaning. When God breathed life into Adam, he breathed life into him and made him a living soul. Gave him a spirit, a living spirit, the breath of life. But it's used in so many different ways. It's the seat of the emotion, the seat of the mind, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. That word means guile, falsity. We remember that in the Bible there are men who are full of guile. They're false. The Lord despises it. The Lord hates that falsity, that false witness, that hypocrisy. And it was an accusation of the Lord Jesus Christ on a number of occasions to those who professed to be religious but were far from it, and he called them hypocrites. The word here, deceit, it means a deceitful bow. When you think about a bow and an arrow, this is a bow that will never lead you to a right shot. It's not true. It's not a straight shooter. And that's how we are to be. No deceit, no guile, but true to the Lord, true to our confession. How often I've failed that standard. But the sign of a believer is persistence, is going on with the Lord. The Lord picks us up and we move on from the guilt that we have, because he has forgiven us. His blood has covered our sins. His word washes those sins away. Trust in the Lord. Trust in his word. He will cleanse us with his blood. He will cleanse us with his word. And we will be like that person, without guile, without deceit. We'll be like our Lord Jesus, because he is the one who is the true standard of excellence. And he is the standard that we look to. I seek to imitate, but always in the knowledge that we will not be that we will not meet that perfection until we enter into the portals of heaven. But now we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We are fed by the Word of God. And we seek to live for the Son of God. Let's do that to the best of our ability, but in the knowledge that it is the Lord who gives us strength and not ourselves. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we've remembered the Lord Jesus Christ, his great sacrifice upon the cross for us. We've remembered that great love that was offered to us in doing so. And we give thanks for him. We give thanks that his righteousness is a gift from God to ourselves, for we have none. We are sinners, but sinners saved by grace. Help us to learn from your word as we look at it, as we study it, and take it into our minds, but also into our lives and hearts, as we seek to walk a life that is worthy of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in that name. Amen.